Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, so let's get to part number 10 on the essentials. I apologize for our delay. We skipped a couple weeks there, but let's get into lesson number 10 and pick this back up. And let's talk about eternal judgment. That's what we're going to look at. We've looked at repentance, faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, that list that's in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Tonight, we're going to talk about eternal judgment. Lord willing, we'll talk about it again next week as we get into the idea of the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. We're going to talk about that a little bit next week. I believe it'll be helpful to you and meaningful to you. So let's lay a foundation here about eternal judgment. You know, people today, they don't want to take responsibility. And this whole topic is about we are always responsible for the kind of person we become. Everybody's responsible for themselves, right? So people today don't want to think about responsibility. Don't want to think about accountability on any level, really. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, politically, socially, families, all that kind of thing. We're steadily losing grasp on this idea of accountability, and we're steadily losing grasp on the idea of the fear of God. Have you noticed that? And when you lose, when you're not afraid of anybody, and God included, you can be a real dangerous person. In lots and lots of ways to a lot of innocent people, actually. So this idea of judgment is talking about responsibility and accountability. Here's a thought about judgment. We see that word pop up, and it pops up in sermons. It pops up in our text when we're reading it. Judgment, kind of a blanket statement of it, is when God sets things right or when God makes things right. Okay, now we often almost always think about the negative side of judgment. But there's also a positive side of judgment that's hopeful for the righteous, right? But the world's a mess. The world's a mess in many, many different ways. And I don't have the time to expound on that to you, and I don't really need to explain it. All you got to do is open up your eyes and ears, and you can see and hear that. But this is the idea of judgment, is when God makes things right. And it happens in two ways. He rewards the righteous. He sets that right. He rewards those who are His people, who are righteous, who have put faith and trust in Him, who obey Him, who follow Him, believe in Him. The other side of the coin is the idea of punishing the wicked. God will punish the wicked. One is joyful, the other is full of terror, absolute terror. I mean, the Scripture says this, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know. So this idea of judgment. Now, I'm going to kind of warn you that this is going to be kind of heavy tonight. Is that all right? It's just a heavy subject. But it's reality. We need to listen to it. In the idea of eternal judgment, we learn this. Scripture teaches us this. Our words, our choices, and our actions have eternal consequences. Now, they can have temporary consequences as well. But God keeps record of it. And you think about that. Our words, choices, and actions have eternal consequence. We'll put a scripture on that in just a moment. And we will all be held accountable to God for the life we lived while we were here. However long you got. I don't know how long you got. You might have 20 years. You might have 40 years. You might have 80 years. You might have 110 years. I'm not sure what you're going to have. But we're all accountable to God for the way we live our life. Everybody. 100%. Everybody. Don't matter what nation, tribe, or tongue you're from. Everybody. And the final judgment awaits us all. And you probably know this scripture right here. It's talking about Jesus in Hebrews 9:27. But just kind of pulling out the front part of that statement, it says, it's appointed for men to die once, or once to die, right? But after this, what? What does it say? After this, the judgment. It's appointed. You're going to die once. So reincarnation is not a reality. It's a lie. This whole idea of purgatory is a lie. It's not real. And don't give the guy your money to get your uncle out. It ain't going to happen. God don't take money down there, up there, over there, or for there. It's not a reality, right? It's just not a reality. That's been the probably the most wicked fundraiser that the church has ever created. You want to be honest, truth about it. All the idea of indulgences and the idea of purgatory, and you can give, you know, you can put stained glass windows in the church, and your dead loved ones will be released into paradise. That's just not a biblical teaching at all. So, I mean, I don't mean to harp on that, but it's just true. You die once, and then you answer to God for how you lived. Then the judgment. All right. Now listen to what Jesus says right here. And what we're going to kind of do tonight is I'm really just got a collection of scriptures, probably 6 or 8 scriptures we're just going to look at and just kind of see. And we're going to kind of start making brushstrokes. And next week we're going to kind of finish the painting. We're just going to make brushstrokes right here and just try to get an idea of what the scripture talks about and what it means when it says eternal judgment. Jesus in Matthew 12, 35 through 37, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. That makes sense, don't it? An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men or women may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And that makes you want to bite the end of your tongue off, don't it? I mean, seriously. Now, what's an idle word? And he's not just talking about humor and silliness and things like that. It could be vulgar. It could be blasphemous. It could be hostile, violent, angry. It would be in that kind of category. You understand what I'm talking about? Seductive kind of things. All of those kind of things. God said, I'm going to even take account of what you say. And here's the reason. He just got through talking about the treasure. What one scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth does what? So whatever's on the inside comes right out. And how do we know what's on the inside? By what comes out here. And it's not just because the words are going to catch you. It's because your heart's not right and we can tell by what's coming out. Does that make sense to you? And that's what he's talking about. So he said, even every idle word. Okay. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Makes you want to talk a little bit less, don't it? Yes, me too. All right, now let's go to Acts 17. Paul's actually in a conversation on what's called Mars Hill. He's there in Greece on Mars Hill, and he's talking to a bunch of philosophers. And he's trying to preach the gospel to them. They're talking about all their stuff, and he comes in and starts talking to them about the unknown God. You can read the story in Acts 17. But starting to verse number 30 and 31, he's beginning to close his part of the conversation. He says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Now, it's interesting that the apostles, when they preached the gospel, they did not leave out the idea of judgment. We preach the gospel in today's pulpits about love, joy, and peace. And we leave out this part almost always. You know, and it's really caused a lot of trouble in our society. A ton. But when the apostles preached the gospel, they threw in the fact that, hey, you know what? God loves you, but I want you to understand, you're accountable to him. That's not a real popular subject today, but it's reality, all right? God's going to judge the world, all right? So God's overlooked all the foolishness and crazy stuff you've done and all that kind of thing. He's willing to overlook it, but he's calling everybody right now because of what Jesus has done to repent, and he is holding everybody accountable, and he will judge the world by Jesus, all right? Good. Hey, if you got any questions or comments, throw your hand up, and we'll see what you got, all right? Anybody? Anybody good? Anybody? Acts 24, 25. Now here again, Paul's preaching the gospel to Felix. Now Felix is a Roman governor underneath Caesar. And he's got a real neat run of conversations that Paul has with Felix and Festus and Agrippa. It's all right there in like 24, 25, 26 of Acts. It's really worth the read, actually. I love it. Paul, as he's talking to Felix. Now Paul's imprisoned at this point in time. All right. He says, now as he reasons, he's trying to talk to this man about the gospel. As he reasoned, look at the three things he talked to this man about. He talked to him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid. You've been living like Felix, you ought to be. And he answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. According to text, they never had that other conversation. But look what Paul talked about. He talked to him about how to be right with God. That's righteousness, right? You take off all the suffixes. How to be right with God. And Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father. That's teaching him about righteousness, right? He had to throw that in there. He talked to him about self-control. What's that? What's about self-control? Why would he throw that in there? Talk to him about his sin. Talk to him about his choices, his actions. And if you know anything about that decadent lifestyle of those Romans and all that kind of thing, self-control was not one of their virtues. You know? Very promiscuous in sexuality and all sorts of things. Very promiscuous. And he said, I talked to him about self-control. That, you know what? I mean, I can hear him kind of talking to him. He said, you know, all those girls you've been messing with and all this kind of stuff. Now, I'm inferring. I'm assuming. But if he's like the rest of the lot, it was pretty rough. All that kind of stuff, you don't have any self-control, and you're going to answer for that. And the judgment to come. That all kind of ties in together. All right? That's interesting now. Now, I'm telling you, the gospel is more than Jesus loves you. It's more. And I'm so grateful he loves me. I'm so grateful he's merciful. But there's also another side of that coin. And a lot of people don't know that. Again, because we brought all the rainbows in church. You know what I'm talking about? Scared we're going to offend somebody. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'd rather offend you and keep you from going to hell than to keep my mouth shut and watch you drive off the cliff. You know what I'm talking about? We got to be that way. Now, and there's a lot of ways we can preach the gospel. In fact, we always ought to preach the gospel without being offensive. But the gospel in itself will bring an offense. Does that make sense to you? You understand the difference? It kind of reminds me of the story one time I heard a preacher tell it. Lady was begging her husband to go to church, go to revival service with him. He decided to go on Monday night. So he went on Monday night, preacher preached, hellfire and brimstone sermon. He just got after it, and he preached to, you know, hell hot as it could be. He gave an altar call, and the lady was praying. She just knew for sure that her husband would get saved. He didn't budge. He decided, he promised her he'd come back the next night. Next night they had another preacher come, and he preached almost the exact same subject, exact same text, and he preached it in kind of a different way. But he preached about hell, and it was hot. And the man gave the altar call at the end of the service, and the lady's husband responded to the altar call and came down and gave his life to Christ. And the wife, when they got home, said, you know, that's crazy, because I really thought Monday night that guy was just, he was on fire. Why didn't you respond Monday night, or why did you respond Tuesday night and not respond Monday night? He said, well, let me tell you this. He said, the first preacher on Monday night, he preached about hell like he wanted me to go there. The second guy on Tuesday night preached about hell, but he preached like he didn't want me to go. There's a big difference, isn't it? And lest I remind you that we all are deserving of that fate. And it's only the mercy of Jesus that saved us. So when you talk to people about hell, talk to them like you don't want them to go. I think that's important.
He's our Father. And it's just like we as parents have our kids, we try to keep them on the right path. They don't like being obedient, but I mean, that's what it takes to follow the right path.
Sure. So, absolutely.
That's kind of the way I'd look at it.
And like you plead with them almost. I mean, of course, you can get angry and kind of drive them that direction if you ain't careful. So, you know, got to include, there's a lot to the good news, a lot to it. All right, so now, 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. Now, you're going to see a list of judgments right here. Because, and these are judgments that are supposed to show us what final judgment is going to look like. Okay? Now, because we see them in Scripture happen all the time. Judgments happening, falling on people. All the time. You see people, I mean, it says, these two guys didn't make it because God killed them. I mean, that's actually a verse in your Bible. God just took them out. How about that? You see some of the sons of Eli that God just poof, fired, just consumed them right there. Boom. You see that kind of stuff all the time. And you say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. But then you get to Acts chapter 5 and you got Ananias and Sapphira. That's New Testament. Kind of gets scary. somebody didn't give the offering the way they're supposed to, and God just said, "Foop, see you, husband and wife." I imagine attendance was a little low that next Sunday. Anyway, I'm just saying, you see these judgments, and they're like precursors and warnings to everybody, and that's what he says right here. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, that's back to that Genesis 6 thing we talked about in Sunday school a week or so ago. The angels who sinned, the sons of God and the daughters of men, that kind of thing in Genesis 6. But he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. That's a warning, right? And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Now that's an example our culture has forgotten. 100%. And now a sodomy type lifestyle is not just not corrected, it's cheered on. Like, go for it, man. You know what I'm talking about? And they're actually named after Sodom. Sodomites, right there. Somebody said they want to teach the history of the LGBTQ. And somebody else said that'll be just fine as long as we start with Sodom and Gomorrah. You know? And the laws are on the books today to have guys like me who say things like I just said have us arrested. You know that's on the books right now? Well, it's going to be scratched on the side of the wall in this prison cell or something. We just can't quit saying it. You know, see, it's a warning. It's been given to us as a warning right here. As an example, who afterward, those folks would live ungodly. And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. And for that, I got a fly. There's a fly. It's that Dorito breath. I ate that bag of Doritos. He's trying to get there. Sorry, I'm sorry. And for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. It's a different spin on Lot right there. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. All right, so there we see that reward and punishment thing right there about eternal judgment, right? Okay. Let's get back to the words of Jesus. Matthew 11:22-24. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven. Now, these are little towns that Jesus ministered in, okay? And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. Why would he say something like that? I mean, he blew them folks up. Yeah, I mean, because the example has already happened about Sodom and Gomorrah. And plus, the witness of Christ had come, and he did all these miracles and all these signs and wonders among them. And they still didn't believe. And he said, you know, because you've been given much, much has been required. You've been given much revelation, much has been required. And it'd be more tolerable for those folks that died in Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for those who reject the absolute truth that's put right in their face. Which brings me to a grave concern about our country. Because we got a church on every corner in almost every city in this land. You know what I'm talking about? And that's a concern. And it should be a prayerful concern for us. All right? All right, Luke 12. Words of Jesus again. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, big crowd, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of being a hypocrite now. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. That may want to tip your cap and walk out the back door, don't it? Okay. But that could be good. It depends on how you live, right? Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and afterward have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. You know, he loves us enough to tell us that right there. I'm just saying it ain't all just nice and fluffy stuff. He's being for real serious with us about this, you know. And this idea of eternal judgment is one of those things that kind of helps put the fear of God in you. And you are so blessed. If you had a parent to help that process as well, you're very blessed. Because that's kind of faded in our whole society. All right? So don't fear people. The fear of man brings a snare. That's what Proverbs says, right? It'll trip you up. It'll trap you. It'll mess you up. But fear God is what Jesus says. Fear God. All right? Just a couple more. John 5:22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. This is Jesus talking to us now. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Now you need to circle a couple things right there. Look at that. The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Yes, Jesus is the Lamb. Yes, he is the Lion. And yes, he is the Judge. And yes, he is the Savior. And yes, he is the Judge. And yes, he is love. And yes, he is mercy. And yes, he is the Judge. We want to trade off that part of Jesus. Jesus is the one that told us that. He is the one that we will answer to. Right? And I'm glad I know him. Now look at what he says. Circle a couple more things right here. That verse 24, it says, and shall not come into judgment. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Woo. Now that helps me out a little bit. That if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm not talking about an Easter goer. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about truly following Jesus. If I'm a follower of Jesus, I shall not come into judgment. He's talking about the negative side of judgment. I will not come into that negative side of judgment. You know why? Because my sins are covered. Now that's some good news if you've ever done anything now. My sins are covered. And he promised he would remember them no more. That's good. So I've already passed in his mind, I've already passed from death to life already. I'm living in this everlasting life. And when I stand before him, John tells us this. I think it's in 1 John, I believe it is. John says that we will absolutely have boldness in the day of judgment. How can anybody have boldness in the day of judgment? Well, let me tell you why I can have boldness in the day of judgment. The judge, there's two judges. And one of them's my big brother and one of them's my daddy. I'm good. You understand that? He's got me covered. He is my judge, but I also read that John said he's my advocate. He's my mediator. He's the one that's going to go to the judge and say, hey, you know what, Casey, you know, he had done some stuff. I will say that. Can't deny that. He's not innocent, but he is forgiven. And Jesus is going to lean over and talk to the judge, him and the Father. He's going to say that he's okay. I got him. I'm good with that. You all right with that? See, you're not going to get in on the skin of your teeth. You're going to get in by the blood of Jesus. Nobody, and if your teeth have skin, that's another problem we got. They didn't want you in heaven. We don't want you in church if you got teeth, skin on your teeth, but it's all right. Anywho. Verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment. There's that word again. To execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. He keeps talking about the hour right there, right? That time, that day of judgment, or the day of the Lord. We could even throw that in. That's a whole other study. For the hour is coming, which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. All of them, everybody. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. See that's why when everybody dies, everybody sees the light. Because that's where we're all headed, good or bad. It's just that some folks are going to get to stay, and some folks aren't. See what I'm talking about? Because we're all going to stand before. All right. So, right now, with the scriptures we've read, what have we learned? What have we learned? And some of it's a repeat for you, I know. But what have we learned? Nothing.
But the day's coming.
The day's coming. That hour, we got an appointment, right? You don't miss it. There ain't no hiding. See, we can fool each other. We might even fool ourselves. But there's one person you ain't gonna fool. What else? What else have we learned?
We want to have the right judge on our side.
You want to make sure. And who's the judge? Jesus is the judge. All right. Now let's close it with this idea. In Matthew 25, we're not going to be able to read all that. It's a lot of content in there. I threw it out there for you to read it before you came. I hope you did. If not, we'll give you some mercy. You go read it later. But it's a real important chapter concerning what we're talking about.
Don't give him
no mercy. You read it. Yeah, Tolkien. I know, didn't you always hate that when the teacher gave you homework and you did your homework and then Joe didn't do it and she said, well, I'll give you one more day and let everybody get it in. You're like, I stayed up till midnight to do that, you know? Well, some of y'all didn't, but anyway, some of y'all was the other guy. Anyway, verse 1 through 13, Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins. All right, tell me how that parable goes. Tell me how it goes. We're not going to read it. Tell me how it goes. So we got a wedding, right? We got a wedding. And all these bridesmaids, they're called the 10 virgins. They're all right there. Five of them got oil in their lamps. It's that old song we got. Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. You ever heard that song? Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Keep it burning till it break up. That's that song. No, they got that. That five got oil, five don't. So what the five that don't have oil, what they do? You remember the story? They went to the ones that had oil and they said, hey, can we have some of your oil? And they said, no, we can't. You can't share oil. You got to have your own. Can't share. You can't live off nobody else. Can't live off the preacher. Can't live off grandma. Can't live off nobody else. You got to have your own. So they go back to get it and go, and guess what happens? The groom comes in a moment when they're gone. And their foolishness caused them to miss the wedding. Jesus says this in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Right? So don't miss the wedding because you're being a fool. Because five of them are wise, five of them are foolish, right? Be ready. Watch, right? And the second story is verse 14 through 30. It's another real popular story of Jesus. One of my favorites, really. Parable of the talents. Now, talent is not like singing or dancing or juggling or something like that. Talent is a sum of money in the Bible. So the king comes. Tell me the story. Tell me the story.
I'll give so much money to one. I think it was, I forgot how many talents. And he took it out and doubled it. Gave it so much to another. He doubled it. And then the one gave it. He wouldn't hear it a hole in the ground, put his, and didn't do anything with it.
Okay. Right? That's good. So one had five, one had two, one had one, right? Because not everybody's got the same gifts. Not everybody has the same deal. Everybody's got opportunity to serve. So equal opportunity, but not equal distribution. That's something our government's struggling with right now. You know, if I had a Bible, we could figure that out with just this story right here. How God handles his business, how we ought to handle ours. King just knew. He knew this person could handle more. He gave him five. He doubled his money. Gave it back to the king. See, one of the key verses right there, verse number 19. The Lord of the house came back and settled accounts. See, that's what judgment's about. He settled accounts with us, right? All right? And he said to the one who had five, who doubled it, enter into the joy of your Lord. Good and faithful servant. That's where we get that phrase. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. One had two, he doubled it. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, he didn't do as much as the other guy, but he did good with what he had. That's the point. And that's where we get snagged up. We try to worry about, yeah, I can't sing, I can't dance, I ain't got $1 million, I can't give money like that, and I can't do it. Well, yeah, that's fine. Just use what you got. Use what you got. But then he came to that one who had the one. You said he buried it in the ground, right? In verse number 30, the judge said this over him, the Lord of the house, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a whole lot more detail in there, but you get the gist. Settle accounts. God's going to come. He's going to settle accounts with us. How did you do? What did you do? How did you do with what I gave you? Okay. There's a lot there. We got time. And then Jesus tells this story. This is more of a realistic story. The others were more parables. This is more realistic right here. In one sense. Verse 31 through 46. The Son of Man will judge the nations. And the Son of Man will be on the throne. Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is on the throne. And he will divide the nations. Nations is the idea of nationalities. Ethnic groups. He'll divide the people. Everybody who's ever lived. He'll divide it. And he'll put the sheep on his right hand. And the goats on his left hand. Anybody know anything about sheep and goats in the Bible? Who's good guys, bad guys? Sheep. Sheep are the good. Sheep are the righteous. The goats. They just butting around everywhere. You know, they're the unrighteous. Right? And you see. How do you know who's a sheep? Well, Jesus said, well, I was thirsty and I was hungry and I was all this. I didn't have this and that and the other and you gave to me. You know? And they said, when do we see you like that? And he said, well, when you done it to the least of these, you done it to me. That's that story right there. Okay? And he said, the goats come up and say, same scenarios given to them. When did we see you? And he said, well, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And how's Jesus know his sheep and his goats? How you treat people. That's how he knows. That's how we know. That's the fruit. That's what the Bible talks about fruit. We know. Right? Son of Man will judge the nations. All right? Lots more there, but close it up with these four little things that are really big. Four things that eternal judgment teaches us. Got these from Wayne Grudem. His systematic theology book is really gold. If you don't have that, you need to get that. It's a good study book. It's called Systematic Theology. By Wayne Grudem. It's about that thick. Well, here, I think I brought it. You want just a little light reading, you know? It'll stop any door, I can promise you that. it's as big as a dictionary. But it kind of goes systematically through Scripture on all kinds of topics. And he does a marvelous job of putting it all together and giving you different viewpoints of what people believe and different things like that. He says these four things about eternal judgment. Here's what we learn. Justice will be given to all. A lot of people using that word very loosely nowadays don't even know what they're talking about. Because, see, our cry should not be for justice. Our cry should be for mercy. That's how ignorant things are. You know, we don't want justice. But God's going to make sure everybody gets justice because he's the only one that can mete it out properly. You know, and this idea of eternal judgment means that justice will be served to everybody. Everybody, because see, Jesus is a righteous judge. He always does the right thing by everybody. I have this thing. I do a lot of funerals. People ask me all the time, family, do you think that they're in heaven or hell? And oftentimes I don't know. I mean, sometimes I know just because of fruit and things of that nature. I mean, I know on my level, let's say it like that. But when I don't know, here's what I always say. They are in the hands of a God who always does the right thing. And he will do the right thing by them. That's my standard answer to that question. Are they in heaven? Because I can't put them in heaven. I'm sure not going to put them in hell. That's not my place. But they are in the hands of the one who always does the right thing by everybody. And we'll get what we deserve. Based on our deeds or based on Jesus' deeds. And I believe you want to lean on him. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Justice. The second thing we learn about this, it teaches us, you can freely forgive other people. Freely forgive them because God will settle accounts with people. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. So you don't have to pay everybody back with all of your hostility, anger, violence, murder, whatever it is. I mean, it gets in your heart sometimes if you ain't careful. It will. The enemy will take you there, I promise you. You don't have to make sure everybody does right by you. You can freely forgive people who do you wrong. Because he's going to take care of that. One way or another, here on earth or there in the by and by. So you don't have to take care of everything. You don't have to make every, you know, you don't, you just let it go. Put it in his hands. Eternal judgment lets me do that. It lets me release them. Anybody ever said, I just got to give them to Jesus? Yeah, you better. Number three, it motivates us to live right, doesn't it? It's a huge motivation to live right. And these are things that come out of the mouth of Jesus. And the fourth thing, it motivates us to share the love of Christ with other people. We call that evangelism, reaching out, sharing Christ with people, because it is the most important issue in every soul's life, everybody's life. You hear what I'm talking about? Let's don't lose grip on this. In the nice, love, joy, peace, touchy-feely Christian world, everything's going that way. People are letting go of these truths. God's word still stands, folks. These truths still stand. Amen? You want to be on the right side of it. Questions, comments before we go? Good? Come on, let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I pray you'd help us in this whole idea. It's heavy stuff. It's heavy stuff. Because it's a reality we don't always want to think about. But Lord, I pray you just continue to let your word just transform us and make us into those kind of people, Lord, who are motivated to live right for all the right reasons, not just because it'll save or hide. That is partly true. Because you've done so much for us, Lord. I pray you take these truths, Lord, and help them to be a part of our psyche, Lord, a part of our thought pattern, a part of the way we look at life. Renew our minds with it. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you have taken our sins and you've thrown them as far as east is from the west, Lord. We thank you. And you nailed those sins to that cross. We thank you for that. And Lord, we're going to have confidence in that day of judgment. And Lord, if somebody's here listening to podcasts or whatnot, Lord, and they need to do business with you, I pray that'll happen. These are serious, serious matters. So help us, Lord. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.